Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Mama Momo, Ramona hanging out with us as she does every Wednesday. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests like Katie Nolan, who's going to join us in a second, appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Momo, we have a Woj bomb, though, real quick, and it's about the NBA and team personnel expected to submit personal medical histories to a panel of physicians who would review their individual risk of serious illness due to any spread of COVID-19. And the ESPN has learned that talking to some top attorneys in the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, that the NBA cannot exclude personnel from participating solely on the base of age. So, you know, there was obviously a lot of talk about, you know, Greg Popovich and Mike D'Antoni and Alvin Gentry, and they're in that age range where they could be affected. So it'll be interesting to see how this all works. If you were a coach, wouldn't you all just get together and just say, all right, if those guys got to wear masks, we should all just all wear masks?
That's what's going to happen. If one guy has to wear a mask, everybody should wear a mask. I think this comes down to lawyers versus insurance companies, George. Lawyers okay. who say, you can't kick the yes. old guys out, and insurance yeah. companies who yeah, say, yeah. we won't insure you if they go there and get sick. Like, that's what happens here. So, yeah. I don't know who wins that one.
I'm all about solidarity.
Yeah, I'm about solidarity. Look, they'll probably just have to sign a waiver.
Right.
No. that's problematic.
Very similar to what Katie Nolan had to do to come on this show. I believe she had to sign a waiver or maybe even wear a mask. Who knows? Katie Nolan, always late with Katie Nolan. You can make sure to check that out. And of course, she's on Highly Questionable. She's everywhere. Follow her on social media at Katie Nolan, which is pretty appropriately named. Good job on the Twitter handle.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, I wondered what I should name myself, and then I went with what I was named, so it worked out for me.
Well, your Instagram, isn't your Instagram the, you just switched the first letter of your first name
yeah.
and your last name?
You know,
that's a good
so
one.
Great, because when you put the first letter of my first name on my last name, it is kind of the body part people don't like to talk about.
Ooh,
so
yeah.
it's not ideal to be Nady Cohen, but there's the K Nolan was taken and I can't have it, so now we just deal with it.
Hey, so let me ask you a question. What do you make just in general about the NBA? Because, look, every sport's doing this differently, right? Like Major League Baseball, if they ever play, they want to play in home stadiums. The NFL's like, YOLO, we're just going to do whatever we do. And the NBA seems to be the most cautious, where they're like, we're going to do this in this bubble environment. Like, just what do you make of their position on all of this?
I mean, I think with all of this, obviously it's something we've never experienced before. And usually in situations like that, there's stuff you don't even think about that the league is going to have to consider when it comes to creating this bubble, right? So for sports fans who, you know, notoriously simplify everything and think that it's, oh, as simple as doing X, Y, and Z, it's important for us all to remember that, like, stuff you're not thinking about is going to have to, you know, be considered by the entire league in terms of people's safety and their health and their ability to do this. Like, hotel staff, that's not a thing people are thinking about, but you can't stay at a hotel that isn't staffed. And that's just like, I don't know, there's so much to this bubble that makes me really nervous. So I've just been focusing on the fun stuff, like they're not going to drug test them for weed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Katie, I think another fun thing is, I think everybody in the bubble is going to have to band together. Like, you're all going to be in this together, and it's just you. And I think we need, like, official bubble t-shirts. I think we need gear merchandise. I think we need an official bubble song. So I
Ramona
went to
the entrepreneur. Get some
yes,
merch.
Right? Like, so many things. This is my bubble song. What do you think? 99, Eiffel 65. Do you like it? So this
yeah,
is like
no,
playing
it's,
when you enter the bubble?
Look, official bubble song makes sense to me. My original take, which I would like to make clear to everybody listening, I'm joking, but as a person who watches a lot of reality TV, especially here in quarantine when there's nothing
yeah.
to do and we're just looking for stuff to watch, like 90 days in an isolated bubble sounds
Ooh.
Like a lot, but that is Big Brother. Like, the television show Big Brother, which, believe it or not, is still on TV, is 90 days in a bubble if you win. That's how long you end up being there. No phones, no TV, nothing. except people. I don't even think they have clocks. So to
my
original thought was like, let's put cameras in the hotel.
Yes.
And then we get extra content out of like, how are they interacting with each other? Like, how are, you know, the Jazz doing with that situation? And how is their inter-team dynamic going? Obviously, we can't do that, but we should do that.
We should have confessionals, reality TV style confessionals.
And it's optional. You're right. The confessional works because it's optional. Just go into this room if you have something you want to say. And then people might go in there and say some stuff. And then, boom, we've got a whole TV show we can air on ESPN.
I say you are the official interviewer. Like, usually those confessionals.
There you go.
It's not really just, like, the player on Big Brother or Survivor, whoever it is, goes in the confessional. There's a producer there asking them questions. These are scheduled confessions, okay? You should be the interviewer for those.
Ramona,
you don't even have to
finally
go.
You finally found the one job in sports I'm qualified to do. And I appreciate that so much because I will take up this task and I will rise to the occasion gladly.
Who would you want to interview the most though?
Ooh.
Like if you had your like if you could rank like your gold, silver, and bronze medalists who you would want to interview in the confessional and you have your choice of any NBA player who will be in the campus bubble environment, who would you pick, Katie Nolan?
Oh God. All right. I mean, first I think you have to go with Gobert. I think you have to find out where he's at with everything. Or maybe if you want the Gobert angle, you actually interview Mitchell to see how he feels about everything. I mean, I'd say one of those two are definitely gold. You know, Joel Embiid's just always going to say crazy stuff, so we've got to go with him. And then, I don't know, with that third one, I'm trying to think of with this specific situation, who would be the most interesting person to talk to. I'm going to think about it because there's got to be a really good answer. I don't, Ramona, who would you
be
with that third one?
Oh, I think, I mean, Embiid is at the top of my list there just because he's always funny. Like, I just go talk to Joel Embiid any day and you never know what's going to come out of his mouth. So I think that's definitely up there. The Jazz is fun. I would go Jimmy Butler. Maybe for the
third. Jimmy Butler is great. Have you seen his interview with Megan Rapinoe and them? Oh my God, it was fantastic.
He's not afraid to say things. He's fun.
Yeah. Shout out Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird for giving us a lot of quarantine entertainment.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Jimmy is a good one. So what Ramona and I were talking about, essentials. Like, are there things that you have to bring? Like, if you had one thing you had to pick that you could bring to the bubble, and there I'm only giving you one thing that won't be at a hotel or whatever or whatnot, that is personal, what are you bringing?
My PlayStation.
Yeah?
Yeah, I know a lot of teams are talking about, like, you know, I've read things where they're saying they're going to upgrade the TVs and make sure that all the video game systems and stuff are there. So I don't know if that counts. But if I were leaving on a trip for a hotel for 90 days and you were like, bring one personal item, I would sacrifice bringing underwear to bring my PlayStation. Just like, I can keep myself busy. And if I'm not leaving my room and nobody's seeing me, it doesn't really matter. All I need is just this wealth of, it's just a box that has every game you could ever want to play on. And I don't understand how you could ever get bored. Also, if my mom is listening, my actual answer is my Kindle because I love to read books and reading is enrichment.
There you go.
Mama Nola. Now, would you want to go and just, would you challenge some dudes like on NBA 2K? Or like, are you an NBA 2K person?
No, I wish that I was. It would be really cool of me to say that I like to play 2K or Madden. They're games that I've played. I'm not very good at. I don't like playing video games that are like, here's a thing you could do in real life, but you have no actual athletic skills. I prefer to play games that are like, what if cars could play soccer? Go try that. So I play a lot of Rocket League. I play a lot of games like, you know, go out and shoot aliens. It's not a thing I can do in real life, so I can do it on video games.
Hey, so what reality shows do you watch, Katie? I think this says a lot about us.
I know, and that's why I don't want to tell you, because I know what it says about me isn't good stuff. But,
okay, you stop.
I'll go first, okay?
Okay.
I watch every episode of Below Deck. Sailing Yacht, Mediterranean, and Standard Below Deck in the Caribbean or wherever they go. I watch every single episode
all
the
right,
night it airs.
Look, I will confess, the Real Housewives of Atlanta. Give me those women all day, every day. The most drama, all those other housewives shows, okay? Boring as hell. I literally can fall asleep with them. The Atlanta Housewives, give me all day. I can't take my eyes off the show.
I'm with you. Atlanta is the best, but the first season of New Jersey was very good, and then it went downhill very quickly, which is often what happens with those. My big reality show that I watch is The Challenge on MTV, especially now because we haven't had any sports. I know technically it's not sports, but what's the thing we got? And I found out that on Amazon you can, like, for $5.99 a month or something, you can get access to all the old Challenge seasons, and I think there's like 30-something. So I've been going back, and while watching this current season of The Challenge, I'm also rewatching old seasons of The Challenge because I'm bored and I have no idea what to do with myself.
Wow. You would be good on The Challenge, Katie.
I don't know. See, I go back and forth because I'm like, I do think I would be good at the, like, competitive stuff.
Yeah.
But when it comes to alliances, I think I would just be like, I don't know. I want to be friends with everybody. And then that would not serve me in the long run or my game. Like, I don't know how to be aligned with people and how to shut other. I'm not good at being strategic like that.
All right, let's do this. If you could pick one person at ESPN to align with on The Challenge, who would it be?
Ooh.
Oh, my God. So if this person were, like, my teammate.
Correct.
On The Challenge. Oh, my God. See, now I'm thinking about, like, you know, really athletic coworkers versus people I would just want to spend time with versus people that I know would, like, scheme and be able to help me competitively in, like, the social game. Man, see, my first thought was like Mina Kimes, because anytime anyone's like, who at ESPN would you like to? I just say Mina Kimes because I love her so much.
Right.
But I don't know if Mina's going to help me
in
this particular game.
Probably not.
You know who might be good is Golic Jr.
Yeah.
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 The best social guy, but also at the same time, we have that same, we both want to be liked by everybody, and that's not really going to serve us well. I need somebody who's not afraid to be you know what? Foxworth.
Okay.
Ooh, that's a good one, too. Dominique Foxworth is
very athletic, not afraid to be disliked.
Israel Gutierrez could be good.
Oh, he would be.
Oh, yeah. Izzy would be great.
Yeah. He would be. And he is, I'll tell you this, Katie Nolan, since I've known him for 20 years, he is the most competitive person I've ever met in my entire life. And that includes athletes. I'm not even joking. Like, we used to play pickup basketball, a big group of us. We used to play a media game down in Miami for 5-6 years in a row. We'd play every Tuesday night for like 3 hours, full court. And I remember Izzy, we lost a game one time to another group. And he got so angry. This is pickup basketball where we probably play like 6 or 7 games straight in one night. He got so angry over one game that he did like a Bobby Knight thing, like where he kicked the ball into the stands. So that's why I'm saying, like, he would be the guy I would pick in this because he's smart and he's hyper competitive.
That's given me a lot of Wes energy. And if you know anything about The Challenge, when Wes gets really frustrated about stuff, it loses him points in the social game and nobody wants to be around him.
That's a
good
point.
So you got to take a guy who can take a loss, but knows what he has to do socially to position himself so that the loss doesn't actually affect him.
I think you were right early when you said Golic Jr. I think he's your guy. I think he knows how to take a loss.
Let him know.
He's a good athlete. Like, he's a good social guy. Could scheme if he needed to. I mean, look, if you needed somebody who is not afraid to. I mean, Sarah Spain is a heck of a competitor.
Oh, she's pretty good, too.
Oh, yeah. That's a
she's
great
not
point.
Afraid with people not liking her. She's fine telling people off. She's good at that.
You're totally right. That's a great point. I think that what we've learned here is that everybody at ESPN, we should do a season of ESPN The Challenge.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, but you know what? Now I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh,
who
God.
Would you not want to be your partner?
Why would you
on the
ask
challenge?
Me this question?
Because I'm an a-hole. That's why.
I know. Well, my first thought was like, why don't we just go for the network whipping boy and say Stu Gatz? Because
there you go. See, I gave you an easy out.
But that's a cop out because earlier I was like, actually, Stu Gatz might be the Johnny Bananas of ESPN.
Ooh.
He might be the guy who's just the wild card and somehow ends up on top. So I wouldn't go with Stu. If I had to pick somebody I would not want on my team from ESPN, oh God.
Who do you feud with?
Nobody. I like everyone.
Here, I'm going to make this easy on you. It's Lebatard because he's just a pain in the ass about everything.
Yeah, it's Lebatard because Lebatard wouldn't want to do it. It's Lebatard because the first day he'd be like, this is so dumb and beneath me. I'm going to do something to get kicked off. I could see him being the kind of guy who, like, packs his bag and just leaves in the middle of the night, and then I have to wait to find out from the host, TJ, if I'm also kicked off because my partner left, or if I get to stick around and I would get kicked off.
Perfect example. Back to the basketball game I used to play. We invited Lebertard. He came one time. He shot, like, three air balls, never came back.
What?
Yeah. Oh, you know what? We missed an obvious one for good partner would be Jacoby.
Yeah, Jacoby's good. I've played basketball with him. He's actually really good.
Yeah, he's athletic, and he also loves the challenge, so I think he would know. Yeah, Jacoby would be a fantastic pick.
All right. Now, I may end up in the bubble. I don't know if I am or I'm not, and I'm going to probably bring my PlayStation because that's a great recommendation. Ramona also said I should bring my Apple TV if I end up going.
Obviously, yes.
Do you have a message I can convey to you, to Doris Burke for you? Do you want any? Is there anything you want me to say to her for you?
I thought you'd never ask.
Yeah.
Just let her know that I love her and that I'm thinking of her every day.
Okay.
I pray to her, so she's probably been hearing most of these messages. I just want her to know that if anything happens in that bubble to her, we will protect her. I'll be there. I'm actually working on my doctorate just so that I can, you know, treat Doris should she get sick again. She's safe, she's loved, and we will lift her up. Just let her know that. You got all that?
I gotcha. I wrote it all down. We're all
Katie.
Good.
So, in while we have you, George doesn't necessarily believe me that you and I had a wild night in Vegas. That most of the details should stay in Vegas.
Yeah.
What can you tell George that would convince him this really happened?
Did she tell you the story of how we went and sat in VIP? At a club, which is the same, I don't know if that's common for you, Ramona.
This feels so fake, right? This doesn't feel
real. We sat at VIP in the club with Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird. And when we arrived, and, you know, we had to tell them that that's who we were with in order to get the table so that we didn't have to wait in the big long line, they went to the bathroom right away. And the club sent over, you know how, like, they have the, you know, you get bottle service and there's like girls on guys' shoulders that have, you know, sparklers coming out of the bottles.
Right.
They sent over this huge, like, performance, and the big screen and the DJ was like, ladies and gentlemen, joining us tonight, World Cup champion. And the whole club turns and looks at our VIP section and it's like me and Ashley Braband, who works at ESPN, she's the producer, and like Ramona, and we're all just going, no. Don't come right there. And the whole club is like standing up and like straining to take a picture of our VIP table.
And they're playing like
the mortifying moment.
Oh, and she's like, oh, they're in the bathroom. But Katie, you were like the only one who could kind of like save the moment. And they were playing like the Stars and Stripes. Like, weren't they playing like the national anthem or something?
Oh my God. It was the most. I was like, no, just come back in 5 minutes. And they didn't. And so then when Sue and Megan got back, I had to be like, well, you missed it, but there was a real big presentation for you.
My God, yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah, I love that right there. Should have been something. So do we have film of that? Is there a way to call Marquee or whatever club we were at just to have that so we can just publish that?
I think we were at Light. Isn't that the club? It was Light or something?
I have no idea, Ramona. I don't remember anything except in that moment wanting to not exist. I took a picture, but I don't think any of us, I don't know how none of us thought to record the fact that this was happening.
I might have it. I'm going to look.
What? If you have it, it needs to be published.
I'm telling you, somebody at the club had it and has probably deleted it because they thought
they
they were like, I'm going to take a video of Megan Rapinoe.
Wait. Ramona, you have it?
I have it. I'm sending it to you on group text.
Katie, can we publish this? We need to review it before we publish.
No, I don't think we can publish.
Let me review it, and then we'll make a call. Why not. It was so funny.
Katie Nolan hanging out with us here. Always Late with Katie Nolan, and of course, check her out on Highly Questionable. I'm glad you were able to join us, because Lebertard usually hijacks his Highly Questionable guests at this time. Like, we always have to figure out something with Mina. So now that I know that you actually can do this, we will have you on more regularly. This will be fun.
Yeah, call me whenever you want.
Yeah, because Lebertard screws everything up here for us during this time to try to tape with people.
You know, he's a real difficult guy, but we love him just the same.
Yeah, I hear you. So, all right, so I have the video. I have the video. I see it from Ramona. Can I just play the audio off my phone? Okay. Like, is there anything I should worry about or no? Okay, hold on.
I think it's okay.
Let me put it. I'm going to put it right into the mic. Hold on. Ready?
Oh, no.
Let me raise the volume. Hold on. Ready?
Oh.
All right. So the song is probably not appropriate.
Got it. That makes sense. That tracks.
Now the song is over.
But you can see the red, white, and blue in the background.
Yeah.
That was it.
You know what? It's kind of just like a mess. Like, it's just like there's the phone is going everywhere. It's Ludacris singing Move, Get Out the Way. And it's just, it's over in 10 seconds. It's actually not that damning.
Well, I didn't get the whole thing.
If it'll surprise you to know, we had been drinking heavily. And so we probably filming a beautiful video. And it's probably just 10 seconds of like the inside of Ramona's purse.
I mean, you can see the girls on the guy's shoulders dancing, and you can see the club.
Oh, God. Do you remember?
You can see
the girl in the elevator?
What did I say?
You said something super embarrassing, and you knew it right away, but I don't remember what it was.
And it was, like, really loud. I think I was speaking much louder than I should have.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. George, you really missed a great trip.
I'm in next time. Whenever social distancing's over, and you know what? I'm going to be real. I'm not going to Vegas anytime soon, so we may need a vaccine for me to join you. But maybe. This hard maybe. How about that?
Okay. The invitation is open if we can ever have vacations again.
All right. Sounds good. Katie, thanks for hanging out with us. Appreciate it. Let's do it again soon.
Yeah, totally. Thank you guys for having me. I miss you both very much.
All righty. Miss you too. Take care. There she is, Katie Nolan. Always late with Katie Nolan. Check her out on Highly Questionable as well. That was fun.
Always.
Laura had to dump the audio because of the song, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I remember they came over. It's exactly how she told the story. It was like the entire club and the cameras were on us with the like women on the shoulders of like wearing a swimsuit on the shoulders. And they just started playing like the red, white, and blue. The whole club was red, white, and blue. Here's our big Megan Rapinoe moment. And it's instead.
And she's
us.
Not even there. They're in the bathroom.
And she's
right?
not
yeah,
even
you
there.
Guys.
Yeah. Not so coordinated. It was great. Katie tried to sell it. She's like, oh, I don't know what to say to you guys, but let's raise the roof.
Yeah.
So that's all we got.
All right. Coming up next, let's get back to Reggie Bush. It's a great day for USC. It's a great day for Reggie Bush. And by the way, we never actually got into actual basketball, Ramona. You and I will talk actual basketball, the bubble, what to expect, what players are thinking, how players are feeling about the format, all that stuff coming up in just a second. Sedona Show with you here on 710 ESPN. Thank you, Thursdays, presented by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. If you know someone who's working as a healthcare provider, frontline worker, and you want to nominate them, we're going to have our guest tomorrow. You can nominate some fine folks at ESPN LA Marketing at ESPN.com with their first, last name, city, or occupation, or post a short video on Instagram or Twitter, including the hashtag 710 Thank You Thursdays. We'll interview a frontline worker and award them a $500 thank you gift, which includes a $200 service to Valvoline Instant Oil Change and a $100 gift card to each of these fine places, Wingstop, VSLiquor.com, and Shooteria.com. Again, it's all presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Thanks to Katie Nolan for joining us there. Bruce Feldman was on with us earlier. We appreciate Bruce joining us as well. We'll get to the Reggie Bush stuff here in a second. But Momo, you and I, let's talk real basketball here. So we had some fun talking bubble with Katie Nolan. And your confessional thought was definitely a big hit. And her creating the challenge at the bubble in Disney World. But let me ask you some real basketball stuff here. So what do you think is the biggest concern from guys you've talked to, coaches, players, et cetera, mm-hmm. about playing in the bubble? Like, whether you know, not having home court advantage. Like, how much does that hurt the Lakers, for example? Like, we were talking about this the other day. They would have had, in theory, potentially 7 home games against the Clippers based on the fans, right, and the way it divvies up. Now that's not the case. So, like, how do guys feel about this?
Yeah, they're not thrilled, but I also think everybody's just so happy to have basketball back, that to have a chance to play again, that you just kind of get over it. I mean, it's honestly, I don't know if everybody assumed they were going to be able to find a way back the whole time. And it'd be worse not to play than to play without having home court advantage. You just have to. I was listening to Alex Caruso on Zach Lowe's podcast a couple weeks ago, and he was like, look, I just have to believe are, you know, I have to believe our team is the best team. We were one of the best teams out there, and that's it. And I liked Doc Rivers the other day when he said on the jump, like, we're trying to win the weight, you know, we're trying to win the layoff here. Like, there's a lot of teams out there that have taken this very seriously, this whole the time off. Like, they've been working out, training. Like, they didn't necessarily just take a break. They sent equipment to the players' houses. They've been training, they've been playing, they've been doing whatever they can. And then there's other teams like San Antonio Spurs who went and sent LaMarcus Aldridge to have season-ending surgery. Right? There's Bojan Bogdanovic from the Jazz who had surgery on his wrist. Because the uncertainty of, are we going to play again, are we not, they just decided to just go ahead and get those surgeries taken care of, and they're not going to be there.
Right.
I don't know. I think there's some teams that you know, are just going to be there. Like, how much do you expect out of the Spurs if they don't have Aldridge the whole time? How much do you expect out of the Jazz if they don't have Bogdanovic?
Right. Well, I saw a story earlier today that the Mavericks are a little worried about Luka Doncic's figure, let's call it.
Oh. Well, he's been in he's been home in Slovenia, right? Yeah. He went home, and there's some home cooking there. He doesn't have – I think in the – since he's been over in the States, didn't they get him a private chef who would cook him keto-friendly meals or something or whatever?
Yeah, I guess that – yeah, but, you know, you can have all the keto-friendly meals you want, but if you're home – if you got a little home cooking, you're probably sneaking that in. And by the way, let's face it. These guys are grown – I mean, and he is a grown man. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I've probably had indulged in a few more glasses of wine during the quarantine than I normally would during the week. You know what I'm saying?
I think, like, you're supposed to.
Yeah.
Aren't we all just supposed to? Isn't that part of, like, quarantine life? It's like, you're not supposed to feel bad about anything you're eating or drinking.
Right. So my guess is that probably has played a role too.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So whoever's kept themselves in the best shape, and I guess if you're the Pelicans, you know, maybe your first thought anyway is always going to be what kind of shape is Zion in, but especially after a long layoff where you don't have Aaron Nelson, you know, tracking every single thing that goes into his body and working out with him every single day, that would be a concern. And, you know, the Pelicans are going to be part of this thing. So I don't know. I think whatever teams have kept themselves in the best shape. And my guess would be it'd be the four or five teams that really have a shot at this. It'd be the four or five contenders who really felt like, you know, if there's a season, they're going to be the top teams because they were the top teams in the regular season. My guess is those are the ones who have kept them in the best shape.
Let me ask you this about, you know, the way it's constructed, right? Like, do you think because there could be some guys not in the best shape, and I know they'll have a training camp and a ramp up or whatever, but there's going to be some rust for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think that we could have a scenario where we may have, like, some upsets? Now, generally over 7-game series, you don't get a lot of those. But do you think that this whole scenario could contribute to some of that stuff?
Well, when they've done this overseas, we've had a lot of upsets. When there's no fans and there's no home court advantage, it doesn't really matter. And so I would say, George, that correct me if you have a different opinion, but I think the teams that have some cohesion, that have been together for a while, that have veterans, I would say in the East, I really like the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a well-coached team that plays a certain way. They kind of know how – they have their own system. They don't have to necessarily get back into it and now they're all going to be healthy because they've been off for so long. I really like the Raptors. I like the Heat. I still like the Bucks, but I think they lose a little something by not having that home court. I have no idea what to make of the Sixers because they couldn't win on the road this year. But
right, so there it's all on the road now.
It's all on the road, but it's not really the road.
Right.
It's not really home, so yeah. I don't know what to make of them. But I do know they'll have Ben Simmons back, so that's good. It's that the East feels like we could see some upsets.
Right.
In the West, I don't know. I still think the Lakers and the Clippers are the two best teams. Denver, yeah. There was a conference call this week where Jamal Murray said that Jokic has a 4-pack going, that he's in amazing
right. I heard he's
shape.
In the best shape of his life. Yeah, it's crazy.
So let's see how – I think Denver sounds like they've done well throughout this. It doesn't sound like Utah really has.
No, they've just been – yeah.
Bogdanovic had that surgery. They've got some chemistry issues they got to work on at least. Houston's an interesting one. They were playing really well. And the one thing about D'Antoni's system that you always wonder about is how well people can play it over time. So how can you hold up playing at that pace with no big men over the rest of the regular season and into the playoffs? Well, they've just had like a nice long layoff to get help.
Yeah. 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 All of a sudden, Robert Covington and PJ Tucker have got some legs back potentially in that scenario. So yeah, that could be interesting. Let me ask you this. When it comes to the eighth seed, if you had to bet money right now, who would be the eighth seed based on the way that it could play out? Who would you bet on? Because I'm betting on Portland.
Yeah, I would have said Portland coming into this. I thought Portland was going to catch Memphis down the stretch. I just thought Dame Lillard, CJ McCollum, I thought they were going to get it together. Now I'm going to bet on Memphis. I think it's going to be hard to make up.
Really?
The amount of ground you're going to have to. And it
but,
just
but here's
like,
the thing. You don't think that they'll be within the four games to be able to be the
yeah,
to play
be,
in the play-in?
Yeah, they could be, but then they have to beat them twice. And right. Then it's not just like one game to play in. It's like, you got to beat them twice.
No, I get it. And, but here's the thing. They'll be healthy. Nurkic will be back, right? Zach Collins will be back. Now you're depending less on Hassan Whiteside, right? Like, I think that they're sneaky in that sense. Like, I think they could end up becoming the eighth seed.
So I want to say Portland is the favorite. I sort of like Sacramento too. I think it's a young team that could do well in a situation like this where you don't have that feels like a team to me that would be that would have a hard time on the road.
Right.
But in a neutral site like this, and we're just playing at a gym, like, and they don't have a lot of pressure on there. There's literally nothing at stake for them.
Yeah. Well, and Luke did a really, I know he got a lot of blowback for it, but when he put Buddy Hield on the bench as the sixth man, they actually started to take off after that.
Yeah. They were doing good. And I mean, what does that mean for Marvin Bagley? Is he okay now? I mean, he's been hurt all year, but maybe he's had enough time to get back. So I like the Kings and I like Portland. I don't think San Antonio is going to do anything without Aldridge. New Orleans, I like, but what kind of shape is Zion going to be in? That, you know, that's, he had just started playing himself back in shape. They got to be cautious with him. There's just not enough time for him to get back into the kind of condition he was in before. And I don't see them pushing him really to do that in this situation. You got to think about his long-term future. Plus, that's a team that had been really good, except in crunch time. I think they had the worst crunch time record in the league. So that doesn't lend itself well to situations like this.
All right, I want to get into the Lakers-Clippers specifically with you on the other side. So let's do that. Plus, we'll get back to Reggie Bush because it's a great day for Reggie. Want to get people's thoughts on all of the Reggie stuff at 877-710-ESPN. Mama Momo hanging out. Sedano with you. We're back in 2 minutes. Yeah!
Yeah!
It's Wednesdays with Momo. It's time for Sir Mix-a-Lot, baby. Oh, we should have played this for Katie. We should have talked to her about booty debt.
That's right. Well, next week, we should just have her on as a weekly guest, don't you think?
Yeah, I think next week we need to – I'm just going to text her randomly what this is about. I just want to see her reaction on the text since we have a text stream going on.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to say, we forgot to talk to you about Ramona's booty day. And then just see what her response is.
Well, so booty day. Our night in Vegas was like – I'll scene set a little bit further, okay? We were at the WNBA All-Star Game, and she was recording segments with some of the WNBA players for her show, and I was there doing a profile of Liz Cambage from the Las Vegas Aces. So just imagine 6'8" Liz Cambage and 5'2" Ramona, okay?
Yeah.
And Cambage was going to be DJing this party at, what's that called? I don't know. It was outdoors. Something at Mandalay, I think. I'm like, okay, I'm literally, this was July of last year, so I think I'm like, 9 months postpartum, I'm still breastfeeding and pumping all the time. Like, totally
right.
The frame of mind to be going out clubbing in Las Vegas. Right? But, like, this was the story. So go do it. I have absolutely nothing to wear to this. This is like, take off the mom jeans and go shopping, like, literally. So that's what I did during the day. I went and I bought some kind of like top that was like leopard skin, leather, whatever. I did look kind of cool, I think, for me, It's not really my scene, but I could, like, walk around in it. But you had to be, it was, like, outdoors, and it was 110 degrees. And so we all, like, as soon as possible, we all went inside where it was, like, nice and air-conditioned and started drinking whatever they would serve us, right? So somehow we all end up at this post-party for the you know, the Cam Beige DJ thing, which actually didn't happen because the guy messed up the equipment and it was a whole thing. And ended up going walking around in Vegas with Sue Bird and Megan Rapinoe and a bunch of other, and like Katie's producer, Ashley Braban, who if you listen to her podcast is really fun. And it was just like a really fun scene, but it was like sort of out of Ramona experience, right? Like there was a time in my life where I could have pulled that off. Probably not this time in my life, right? But Katie definitely could pull it off. And it was, I don't remember all of the things that happened, but I definitely remember sitting at that booth when they came over looking for Rapinoe to play her the like congratulations on winning the Women's World Cup. And she was not there and in the bathroom.
That's great. Pretty awesome.
Yeah,
that is pretty awesome. Hey, Momo, it's funny. Like, there's this report out there at the moment. And by the way, Laura just text. Laura, tell people what you just said. What you just text?
It was the hangover experience.
Yeah,
it kind of was. Yeah. And I definitely remember that. Like, this is like a sad mom thing, but I like to be real about stuff like this. So, like, after you drink a little bit, you have to pump and dump, right? Like, you can't serve that. So I definitely was like all weekend. I didn't really bring home anything for Daniel. I was like, I'm sorry, son. I can't serve this to you.
Not this. Yeah. Yeah. Nope. This isn't going to work for you, son. So anyway, no easy transition from this, but
there
have been some reports. And by the way, you could tune into speaking of podcasts, you could tune into the ESPN Daily podcast with our friend Mina Kimes, bringing you a deep dive into a single story of one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters, including Ramona, who's been on the show plenty, presented by Marathon. Download, subscribe, and review the ESPN Daily with our friend Mina Kimes, available wherever you enjoy your podcast. And Ramona is here hanging out with us, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise, as she is every Wednesday. So, Momo, there are reports out there yesterday about Bradley Beal and the Lakers having interest. And look, I'm not trying to diminish anyone's reporting. I'm not. I'm not doing that. So please, if you're listening, don't take it that way. Like, but I'm like, I look at it, I'm like, yeah, I bet you every team in the league probably has interest in Bradley Beal, right? Like, I know he wants to stay in Washington, or at least he said that. But I guess recently he did talk about how it's a challenge. He's up for the challenge, but he does think about other potential scenarios. So, look, there's probably 10 teams that would line up for a guy like that.
Yeah, and how do you get him? I mean, he makes a lot of money.
Yeah.
Right? And you have to he makes a lot of money, so then you have to match salaries.
Right.
And why would Washington do that? Right? Like, why would they do that unless they get a really good player coming back? I don't know. Bradley Beal, I wanted the Lakers to trade for him 3 years ago. I thought he was a perfect fit next to LeBron.
Yeah.
You've got just an absolute knockdown shooter who can spread the floor. Like, to me, he is the same reason why the Heat did so well when they got Ray Allen or Mike Miller. Like, that's why you go get a Bradley Beal. That's who he is. He's a great player and a great complimentary player for LeBron. The question is, like, does he want that? Because he's kind of been the man in Washington for a while. And it didn't go as well when he and John Wall were playing together because they sort of couldn't decide who the team, who was running the team. And they didn't play. They always underachieved. This year, without John Wall, they've sort of been rebuilding. He signed that extension because he wanted to make a commitment to the franchise. That hasn't worked out. So if he's softening in that, if he's saying, okay, I don't feel as committed to Washington as I did. Okay. I don't have any reporting on that.
I saw a commentary where he just kind of left it open, right? Where he just said, like, I'm committed to Washington, but you know, I do think of, I mean, it's hard not to think of other potential scenarios. Like, it was like a throwaway line. You know what I'm saying? Like, but those things stick out to me. Like, when you say stuff like that, I'm like, okay, well, maybe there are scenarios. But I do think, to your point, he does make a lot of money. He makes like $30 million a year. Mm-hmm. And so you have to match salaries. And even if Washington were willing to do something like that, you'd have to give them draft picks and or young players. And I don't see an avenue for the Lakers to be able to accomplish that. Not without including multiple teams.
Well, you have Kyle Kuzma. That's still your best available trade asset, right? I think Alex Caruso would probably be considered a trade asset at this point. Although I think he has more value to Laker fans than he probably does on the open market, right?
Right.
So yeah, it just feels it feels like daydreaming, right?
Right. Unless, that's my point. Yes.
Yeah. Unless Brad wants that, unless right. that's what Bradley wants, and he does, he did sign an interesting contract. Like they could trade him after this year, or middle of next year, something like that. Mm-hmm. From when he signed that extension, so he signed an interesting contract, but it gives Washington like a lot of leverage. And I just think there's other teams that have better packages. So unless he just outright demands, same way Anthony Davis did, where you know he wanted to go be traded to the Lakers, they had a collection of young players and draft picks. And then there was the threat of him not re-signing with you at right. the end of his contract. It's a perfect storm to actually make your wishes come true if you're a player yeah. like that. But I don't think Brad has the same kind of leverage Anthony Davis did.
No, he doesn't. And, you know, I've heard that Washington would want like a crazy yeah. haul for him too. But I don't think he's that player either. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think that, look, I think Bradley Beal on a championship team depends, like, clearly he's not the number one.
Yeah.
I think he can be like a 2A or 2B, right? Like if you have like a guy who's also really, really good or an ascending player who you think can eventually be like a franchise cornerstone, like he can fit in with someone like that, mm-hmm. like a younger ascending player. But yeah, I don't view him as like a guy who you can, like clearly I don't view him as a guy who can lead a team to a championship. So well, he's gonna have
to. Question of, does he view that?
Right, right, right. Yeah, so and I don't know, maybe, you know, after a while guys get tired of banging their head against the wall, right? Like we've seen that numerous times. But it'll be interesting to see, like if he becomes available, there's going to be a boatload of teams that are going to be like, "All right, yeah. here you go." You know, like they'll make that happen.
I mean, I could name you 5 teams that could give more than what the Lakers are offering. That could trade more.
Well, don't do that cuz we don't need you to get aggregated. So let's not do that.
Okay.
I'm trying to save you right there. So anyway, but yes, to your point, I agree. Yes, for sure. Speaking of the Lakers and Clippers, who's got the advantage right now, Ramona? Because we talked about the home court thing, right?
Yeah.
But LeBron, not that long ago, was talking about how, you know, he has a specific ramp up, right? And he is someone who, you know, he feels like the layoff could be a problem for him trying to get back up, which I think is why the league has gone the route they've gone, right? Extended training camp, exhibition games, regular season games to kind of get guys like that in the best shape they can. You know, Doc has talked about the other side of it where he feels like his team's going to be healthier and it's going to be almost like a reboot for them where there's yeah. been talk about maybe some chemistry issues where they can kind of, you know, find some common ground again. So, like, where do you think the truth lies there? Do you think that between those two teams, do you still think it's the Lakers who have maybe a slight lead, or do you think that the Clippers have an advantage based off this layoff? Like, just what are your thoughts on stuff like that?
I think the Lakers have an advantage on anyone because they have the best player. Like,
right.
his name is LeBron James, and right. I know that he has a ramp up that he goes through. And I know all that, but I just think he's LeBron James. And when you get this close to a title, especially at his age, with the number of things that had to align for him to be in this position right now, staying healthy, you know, getting Anthony Davis there, getting other players there to be healthy. I mean, I don't think you let this opportunity slip through your fingers just because you're a little rusty. I think you find a way. And I think he's been working out the whole time too.
Yeah.
He, you know, is always posting about that. I've sort of heard anecdotally that he's been playing all the time. You saw the video of him riding around on his bike with Anthony Davis. Like,
yeah.
they've been together quite a bit. So I think the Lakers, just because for the same reason I've thought they had the advantage all year, they have the best player. Kawhi Leonard's not far behind. Okay, he's pretty damn good. I think it helps the Clippers that Paul George, Kawhi Leonard should be more healthy than they were when the shutdown occurred. What are we calling it now? Are we calling it the shutdown when the league suspended play?
Yeah,
like, what are we
shutdown?
We calling?
I like it.
The quarantine. Okay,
yeah, the shutdown.
Quarantine.
Yeah.
But I think they still were working on how they best play together. They still were learning how Kawhi can still be Kawhi playing alongside Paul, and Paul can still be Paul playing alongside Kawhi. They were still kind of deferring to each other a little bit.
Taking turns.
They were still working things out for themselves, and they're going to have less time to work that out with this shortened training camp, shortened whatever we're going to call these exhibition scrimmages or something, and the only 8 regular season games. But I do think it helps them because they are they are theoretically a lot healthier than they were when the season stopped.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Last thing on the Lakers, and then I want to get to Reggie before we go here today. Bring back Reggie. One more conversation about Reggie, because there's some interesting stuff that's popped up online about it. So, do you believe, like me, that this is LeBron's best chance at a championship? Like, because, again, he's getting older next year. Other teams are going to be better next year. Like, do you believe that this season, no matter how it finishes or whatever, or how we have to finish it, this is his maybe not his last shot at a title. I wouldn't go that far. But his best shot at a title right now.
Yeah, I do. I just, you know, they have a team that it has been just rolling. They found their groove pretty quickly. They found a nice way of playing. I think everybody's chasing them. You don't know what things are going to look like next year. You don't know if Anthony Davis can stay healthy the whole time. You don't know if Kyle Kuzma is still going to be a Laker next year. You don't know what the point guard situation is going to be. Like, Rondo's, you know, barely stayed healthy this year. I know they all have a lot of feeling about, like, they really feel like Rondo can be a key for them. He should be healthy now, right? He should. Mm-hmm. He's had a long enough time off. They did everything they could just to get a deep roster. They made they signed, you know, Markieff Morris now. Like, this is his best shot, and you don't know if you could have the same depth on next year's team. You don't know if they're going to be able to find the same complementary players. And you don't know if he can stay healthy. So I think you got to look at this as, like, this is your last chance. Whether he's got two or three more chances after this, you can't take that for granted.
Right. For sure. For sure. Let me, speaking of taking it for granted, one thing that we didn't discuss when Reggie Bush, when we were talking about it, you know, the first half hour of the show or whatever, is, you know, I think that USC, and I'm glad they came to this decision as you are and everyone mm-hmm. seems to be, but the one thing they took for granted was something Robert Woods told to Lindsay Theory. Here's the quote. One of my old friends tweeted, and I feel the same way, Reggie Bush is responsible for recruiting the last 10 years of USC Trojans. Mm. And he's right. Like, Reggie Bush was the reason that they were able to still stay on top in regards to recruiting and things of that nature. Now, it didn't work out so great for them in a wins and losses standpoint, but the talent was there, and a lot of that was because of Reggie Bush and that group and what they accomplished.
Yeah, I mean, they were, if you grew up in L.A., man, like, that was the team. And not even just L.A., everybody who watched college football, like, he was the guy. And it's still kind of crazy to me how this lasted so long, and there was not, like, who defended Reggie? I don't remember a lot of people coming out and saying this is wrong. I mean, I just went back and
former
read
some teammates
of the old,
did. That's about teammates. It. Yeah.
But nobody across college football was saying this is really wrong. The only thing I just went back and read some stories about, you know, the runner up Heisman winner, the runner in the Heisman vote that year.
Yeah.
And Vince Young was the guy who was the runner up that year. And he said, you know, if Reggie has to give it back, do you want it? And he said, yeah, I definitely want it. But, you know, Reggie won it fair and square, so I don't want to take anything away from it. But even just the acknowledgement, like, yeah, I want his Heisman. That's, you know,
that's weird.
You would expect a little more support amongst the college football brethren, right? Because assume everybody who is up for a Heisman Trophy, who's in that voting, gets the same kind of pressures and agents after them.
Yeah. Oh, of course they did. Right. Yeah. So it's kind of like, no, I would have been like, nah, man, I'm not taking it. Like, I wouldn't have taken it.
Yeah. He deserved it. He won it fair and square. Shouldn't have to give it back. That's
yeah.
It.
Yeah. But it's good news. It's good that he'll be back. He's acknowledged them on Twitter. They've acknowledged him. You know, mm-hmm. he will, you know, they'll eventually, when the time is appropriate, as Bruce Feldman said, there will be a moment, and that will be cool. I think it'll be really cool for everybody. It's always really cool to have you, Momo. Thanks for hanging out with us today, as you do every Wednesday.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I turned down John Ireland for you. I was like, nope, I'm with George on Wednesdays. Sorry, John.
Take that, Ireland. All right.
Boom.
It's Momo Wednesdays. It's booty day every Wednesday. All right. All right. We're done here. Thanks to Greg and Laura. Thanks to Katie Nolan, Bruce Feldman. Thanks to Momo. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10. Have a great day. See ya.